You're listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of The Blind Spot. My name is Alex Henderson. Thank you for joining us for today's show. So it's fair to say that COVID-19 has had a pretty big impact on all of our lives, especially in terms of how we communicate with each other. Whether you're young, old, tech savvy, or not techie at all, we've all had to adapt and get used to using new technologies, many of which we've never even used before. And of course, when you're blind or partially sighted, this can throw up a few new challenges, especially as, well, let's face it, accessibility isn't always where it should be. But we've all had to embrace these new ways of working and keeping in touch with each other, whether it be in our personal lives or in our work lives. But none of these great things would be possible without the wonder of video calling technology. So that's why in today's show, we're going to be taking a good look at Zoom and Microsoft Teams. We're going to be exploring how accessible and usable these are for people with vision impairment and how blind and partially sighted people can use them to communicate effectively. So I'm glad to have two very special guests joining me in our virtual TPT studio today. First up, I'd like to introduce Thomas Pocklington Trust's Technology Information Champion, Darren Pascal. How's it going, Darren?
All right, Alex, how are you doing? It's good to be here.
So maybe you could just tell us a little bit about what you do at TPT.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So at Thomas Pocklington Trust, as Technology Information Champion, I guess the clue's kind of in the title already. My job is to be informed about the sorts of technology that can enable blind or partially sighted people to participate fully in society and make the most of all opportunities that present themselves in engagement, education and employment.
Brilliant. Today you're going to be championing Microsoft Teams. You see what I did there?
I think I've drawn that hat today.
So I'll move on to our next guest. He's a fellow member of the TPT comms team, so there'll be absolutely no bias from me about that. He's the communications officer for the Sight Loss Councils, and if you've listened to some of our other podcasts, you've definitely heard him before. It's Kevin Satisable. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm good, thanks. Good to be here.
Maybe you could just tell us a bit about your role at TPT.
Yeah, sure. So my job is to promote the work of the Sight Loss Councils, particularly online, but also looking at press and any other communications element. And the Sight Loss Councils basically advocate for the needs of blind and partially sighted people. And they're led by blind and partially sighted people as well, which is really great.
Cool. That's really cool. So you're going to be talking about Zooms for us today. You're a bit of a Zoom fan, right?
Yeah, no secrets about that. I think I've been a great advocate for Zoom. I mean, funnily enough, I think I've begun using it a lot more since lockdown, but that's me and a lot of people around the world, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I know, like, before kind of lockdown, I hadn't really used either of these platforms, so I think we're all kind of getting used to using them. Okay, great. So let's dive straight in. And I think it would be good to kind of get a bit of an overview and a bit of a feel for these two platforms. So, Kevin, would you like to kick us off and just tell us a bit about Zoom? Just give us a bit of an overview of Zoom.
Zoom is a video conferencing client that's been around quite a few years now, but it's really soared in popularity over the lockdown period. And it helps you connect to your nearest and dearest over the internet, or you can actually do it by the phone as well. You can log in on your laptop via various browsers, and you can also logging on your phone. You can even do things like control or remote into other people's computers. So it's a really great way of getting tech support as well through Zoom.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Darren, what about you? You give us a quick overview of Teams.
Teams is pretty similar, really. It is an online communications platform with video and audio. The main thing that sets it apart, though, is its integration into Microsoft 365. So it is being used an awful lot in business at the moment because it just comes with the same kind of Microsoft 365 software that businesses, organizations all around the world are probably already using to some extent. So if you have access through your workplace to Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, you probably have Teams kind of thrown in for free, really. But that is essentially what it does. It gives you an opportunity to communicate with anybody in your organization. You can chat with anybody else. You can use it to make calls, video calls, audio calls, and host meetings as well with however many people you want. I think the limit is somewhere like 250, but certainly you can schedule, host and run and record if you need to meetings. And just as Kevin was saying there with Zoom, there is also a screen share feature as well. So you can use that to display content, or actually I think you can use it to remotely access another person's machine as well with permission. But I guess
I have seen that feature. Yeah,
it's kind of handy really, because you never know when you might be in a situation where a little bit of assistance when you're running into some kind of online task might be beneficial. In terms of actually logging into Teams, if you already have some kind of Microsoft 365 account, you can just use that. If you have been invited to join a Teams meeting that someone else has already set up, you can sign in as a guest, and you don't need to create an account to do that. You just put in your name and you're good to go. There is also telephone support. So not all organizations will have this enabled, but it is possible that you can use Teams as a telephone system. And I think same might also be true of Zoom, but there is a facility for some people using Teams to dial in. So in other words, if I were to set up a meeting and invite you to be a part of it at this point, when you receive the email invitation, there'll be a telephone number in there because it's been enabled on my account, but it's not the same for everybody. So it's optional. But if that has been enabled, you don't even need to have the software. You just dial the number and enter in the conference ID, and you're right there over the phone.
That's interesting. How does it kind of compare with Zoom, Kevin? Do you need an account and all that to use Zoom?
If you're using the browser version only, so if you don't want to install a client, you do need to create an account on Zoom. But generally speaking, if you just download the software on your computer, it's a very light piece of software, so it takes you seconds to do that. And or use an app, you don't need an account either. You can just sign in as a guest. So yeah, that's how it compares. And like Darren said, it has also got the ability to use a phone, similar way to Teams. You can dial in a conference code, but also it does have a one-tap phone number facility. So if you tap that number from the email, you can dial in by phone, and it already includes the passcode and for you. And it also, if you pay for it, has the ability that somebody can call your phone. So if you have a host and somebody's not sure how to use Zoom, I've just discovered this recently, you can actually call that person, and all they have to do is pick up, and then they're connected to your phone conference. But obviously that comes at a price, and you have to pay for these additional features.
That's a really good feature. And again, I think optionally, if you do have the audio conference add-on enabled on a Teams license, you should be able to do that as well. But again, it's one of those things. It's always best to double check with whoever it is who's helping you out with these systems, because a lot of what we're talking about here kind of depends on how it's all been set up.
Cool. They sound like some really good features. I think I could have done with a few of them whenever I was struggling to get onto some of these Zoom calls. Darren, just tell us a bit about just sort of navigating Teams. I know you're a screen reader user. So sort of how easy is it to navigate? How accessible is Teams?
Okay, so the first thing to note here is that Teams is pretty complicated because there's so much going on. You've got the ability to be part of a team within Teams, funnily enough. And so there are basically separate tabs depending on what you want to do. So, for instance, there's a tab for Teams, chats, your calendar, calls, files, and activity. And that's just to start off with. So already it's quite complex. What you kind of are doing really depends on which tab you're interested in. It is possible to use the keyboard extensively on a Windows machine. If you've got Teams running as a Windows desktop app, you can use the tab key for a start to tab around all of the elements that are in the current tab. Without wanting to get too bogged down in things, let's take the chats tab. If you tab around there, the first thing that you'll come across is a list of conversations that you've previously had. You will then see maybe a chat history box that shows you all of the messages that the conversation that you've already had with this person or in the current meeting or whatever it is that you've got selected. And then one more tab will take you into a box where you can start typing a new message. The controls that are kind of displayed really does depend on the context on which tab you've got selected. And there are keyboard shortcuts to cycle through all of these tabs. You can just press control and then one through at least five, maybe a few more. And each one of those numbers corresponds with a tab. So control one is the activity feed. Control two is the chats tab. Control three is the Teams tab. Control four, calendar, and so on. So I guess.
That's brilliant. I didn't actually know that. I'm gonna start using this.
Yeah.
Why didn't someone tell me about this before? Do you find it quite easy to use with the screen reader? Like, have you sort of come up against any sort of problems, or is it pretty all right?
Well, I think the biggest challenge that we've got with not just Teams, but so much software at the moment is the pace of change. So just when you think you've got the feel of how something looks, it's just possible that it might change at any moment. Teams, unfortunately, is no exception here. So fairly recently, Microsoft has started experimenting with the new experience, what they call the new experience, which basically changes the interface completely in Teams. That is challenging because just when you think you've learned where everything is, it's all changed and then you have to learn it again. But actually, now having spent a week or 10 days or so with this new experience, I'm actually getting to quite like it. One thing that's really nice about it is that it separates out all of your different conversations into their own windows. So no longer do you get into that point where, okay, I'm in a meeting, somebody's just messaged me. How do I get to that message? Okay, I've read that message, but oh no, I need to get back into the meeting. You know, it could get a little bit fiddly. Whereas with this new experience approach, at least there's a way that you can easily kind of keep track of what you're already doing if you need to go and attend to something else. If you really want a no distraction way of participating in a Teams meeting or just, you know, be talking, not have any kind of visual distractions, you just want to be part of the conversation. The biggest advantage here is that you don't actually have to use a desktop to interact with, to participate in a Teams meeting. You can use a mobile app as well. So just like Zoom, there are apps for smartphones, for tablets. So there's an iPhone app, it's an Android app. You can get it on an iPad. Whatever device you might find most convenient to you, Teams should be able to work on it.
That's really cool, because I know that, I mean, certainly I use the app on my iPad. So that's kind of, I found that really easy to use. And, you know, I use VoiceOver with mine. So yeah, I think it's definitely good to have that option. I have started using the desktop version more now and I'm kind of getting more used to it. But yeah, definitely having that kind of mobile app capability is definitely good. So Kevin, what about how does Zoom kind of shape up in terms of navigating it and the accessibility and all that kind of thing?
Well, Zoom say on their website that they're committed to making sure that their software complies to the latest accessibility standards so that it's accessible with the latest screen readers. And it's great to see that they've written that on their homepage. I've used it with Jaws, NVDA, which stands for Non-Visual Desktop Access, and I've even used it on a Mac. One of the great things about Zoom is that once you log in and you connect to your audio, you put in kind of like the main meeting controls window and you tab around to find the information. You can either tab around to find things like the participant list or the meeting information, or you can even copy an invite. You just hit space or enter and it just copies the invite. You can send that off in an email or whatever if you want to invite someone to a meeting that you're in. But the great thing is also it's got loads and loads of keyboard shortcuts. So for example, Alt A will mute you and unmute you. Alt Y will raise your hand. And these kind of keyboard shortcuts are all listed on the Zoom Help Center. If you search for keyboard shortcuts, you can learn. But it also gives you the ability to change shortcuts. So if there's any shortcut that you think, oh, I'm really not used to this and I want to, you know, edit it to something I like, Zoom has got that feature built in. The best shortcut you really want to know with Zoom is F6. So say if you're a host and someone joins your waiting room and wants to be allowed in, it alerts you. So all you have to do is press F6 and it will jump you straight to that alert. So that any alert that you get, if you press F6, it will take you straight to that alert. So you don't have to sort of second guess that might be.
That's cool.
If you miss your alert, and I think that's another really quick way. And I think it's great as well. You know, I'm totally blind, and I've had to host a few meetings. And a lot of these, some of these platforms, you know, the back end isn't always as accessible. It's great for the customer, but if you're having to be the one that fiddles around with it, with Zoom, you can easily do that as well. You have the ability to have breakout rooms in Zoom, which is really cool. So if there's a whole of you in a meeting and you want to break out into smaller groups, the host can move you in and out of breakout rooms. You know, if you've got somebody who's not very tech savvy, doesn't know how to use this feature, doesn't matter, because you can pre-assign them meeting rooms. And then when you say, all right, we're all going to break out and go to our separate rooms, you get moved automatically. And that's whether you're on the phone or on your laptop. So you've got those features already built in. And I think it's a good entry point for somebody who doesn't know a lot about technology as well. You've also got the ability to record your meetings, just like you have on Teams. You can record on your computer or you can record on the cloud.
So is it fair to say that Zoom is kind of more meetings focused rather than, do you think kind of Teams has a bit more, like you said, Darren, it's got a bit more, some other kind of facets to it, or, you know, I think they're still kind of roughly similar?
Teams is Microsoft's solution for meetings, but it's meant to be a bit more than that. It's kind of about collaboration in a really broad sense, really. So meetings is just one of many functions. And I guess the clue's in the name, really, Teams. It's sort of a piece of software that's designed to really facilitate all of those interactions in between teams. So really good for collaborating on, say, a piece of work or a project, because you can swap files to and from each other and make notes on whatever you want to make notes on, as well as talking at the same time and share screens and do all of this stuff. So for kind of a one-stop solution that Meetings is part of, that might just happen to come included with the Microsoft software you're already using, it's kind of convenient.
The beauty about Teams is that, is it like Darren said, it's integrated to your Outlook. You can easily set up your meetings, and you know, you can collaborate with your colleagues. And also, I think the cool thing about when you set up a meeting, it doesn't disappear. So you can finish a meeting, and any notes that you put in the chat window or some inspirational idea that somebody said, you can go back to your calendar and just review that. I guess with Zoom, it's not really about that. Once the meeting ends, most times I don't know if it disappears, but I can't see any way of going back and reviewing things as easily as you can on Teams. So I think it's a different kind of market. I think for Zoom particularly, I think it's really good from the sight loss counsel point of view, because we're often dealing with a lot of external clients who we can just dial in and can get involved and can log into our Zoom meetings. And also, actually, one thing we haven't discussed about Zoom is that you can log in two ways. You can get invited, so you can send a link with a number and stuff, or you can set up registration pages. So from our point of view, when we're doing a lot of external events, webinars, Zoom is very, very useful to do that, because we can set those registration pages up. People can just put their name and email address in, and then we can sign them up. But Teams has got that ability as well, doesn't it, if you pay for it? Is that right, Darren?
Well, indirectly. It's one of those things that you kind of can do with some other kind of aspects of Microsoft 365, depending on what you've got available in your license. But yeah, it's way more complicated. And to actually make that bit of it work is nothing like as simple as signing up for a Zoom account, enabling the registration feature, and away you go. There's far more to it than that. So it's doable, but it's complicated.
Well, we don't like complicated, Darren. No. Just coming on to my next question. So look, I think we all do. We all like a little bit of a shortcut, you know, a little hack, tips, tricks, anything just to make life a little bit easier and a bit more productive. So I'm just going to ask you guys, have you got any kind of top tips you'd like to, you know, tell people about these platforms?
Kevin has actually already preempted one of my major tips on Teams, which is the search box. And actually, there are two reasons why this is useful. One, it's great to be able to search through all of your activities, all of your chats and calls, and basically your entire Teams history. But also, if you get to the search box, once you get to the search box, from there, it's a really useful starting point because it's so easy with so much going on in Teams to kind of get really lost and a little bit disorientated and think, oh, hang on, I'm tabbing here. And it just says back button or new button or something. And you sort of think, what's that about? Well, if you are looking to reorientate yourself or move to a different function, starting off by going to the search box with Control E. So Control E is the keyboard shortcut. If you press that within Teams, that will take you to the search box. So you don't even have to type anything in the search box. But from that point, if you tab from there, the first thing that you come to is the list of all of the different tabs. And then from there, the first function that's associated with whichever tab you've got focused. So if you get a bit lost and disorientated, starting off by pressing Control E to focus the search box is a really good way to kind of get yourself back on track. And one more tip is to press the keyboard shortcut Control Full Stop. That is actually the most important keyboard shortcut, I would say, in the whole of Teams, because what that does is display a whole load of keyboard shortcuts. Every keyboard shortcut that there is within Teams will be displayed for you to look at and review at your leisure.
Kevin, go on, let's have your top tips.
If you're really stuck and you want to know more information about how something works, go visit the Zoom website and hit on support, and they've got a very comprehensive help center that answers any questions that you might want to have. And also, I'd just say, download the client. You can mess around with it for free. You can create a Zoom account for free. You know, you can even integrate it to your Google if you can't be bothered to put your name and email address in. You just sign up with your Google and stuff, or your Facebook. And you can just have a little play around with it. So if you're next asked to do a Zoom meeting and you're not sure how it all works, so you want to be a little bit more versed, do that and learn those keyboard shortcuts. Also, that will make your life so much easier and save you tabbing around.
Okay, guys, so what about in terms of if I haven't used either of these platforms and I want to kind of get started, what do I need to get started, and, you know, how much is it going to cost, if anything?
With Teams, if you have been invited to a meeting, so it's something that somebody else has set up, you can join it for free. There's no cost to participate in a Teams meeting. And all you need to participate is some kind of smart device, whether that's a desktop computer. You don't even need to download and install Teams on the desktop computer if you don't want to. It can work inside of the latest versions of Edge, Chrome, and Firefox browsers. It works on Macs. It works on tablets and Android and iOS smartphones.
So I think where Zoom does fall down a little bit is the pricing. So for a free account, two of you can talk for as long as you like. But if there's more than two of you, you get a 40-minute cap on your calls unless you pay for the upgrade. And I think the next upgrade up is around £11.99 a month at the time of recording, and that gives you a limit of up to 100 people that you can have on one a call. So in that sense, I think you definitely have to pay for the features and all those other features that I mentioned before, like audio conferencing, or if you want to host your own webinars, all of those do have a plan. So you do have to have deep pockets for Zoom to make it work.
Okay, Kevin, so what about Zoom? What do I need to get started with Zoom then?
Okay, so if somebody invites you to a Zoom meeting, it's similar to Teams. You need a smart device, a laptop. You need to download the Zoom client if you don't want to sign in. But if you have an account already, then you can also sign in on the browser as well. And you've also got the ability to dial in to Zoom on the phone. And usually you'll get an email with the invite details, and you can just dial in and put in the necessary passcodes and passwords, and then you can join the meeting.
Okay, cool. Thanks for that, guys. So if anybody wants to find out a bit more about what we've been talking about, Darren, I know we've got Vital Tech website, which is a really cool resource. So could you just tell us a bit about that?
Absolutely, yeah. So Vital Tech is our impartial guide to the latest assistive and inclusive technology that can help blind or partially sighted people. And we are working at the moment on putting together all sorts of updated information around technology in the workplace, which will definitely cover all of this. So to find out more, you can check out the website now at vitaltech.org.uk. That's vitaltech, all one word, .org.uk.
Brilliant. Well, thanks, guys. It's been a really good show. I think it's fair to say, regardless of which platform is your favorite, which one you like, I think we're all winners as far as blind and partially sighted people go in this regard, because, you know, we've seen that both of these platforms are proving to be accessible and usable ways for blind and partially sighted people to communicate. So, I mean, that's all good. And let's hope it improves even further. Hopefully in the weeks and months to come, we'll all be able to rely less on these virtual means of communication, and that we'll all be able to get back to, you know, communicating with each other in person again. It's been a really good show. And I'd just like to say a big thanks to you, Kevin and Darren. It's been really great having you on the show.
Thanks. Thank you. It's been good to be here.
Absolutely. Good. Really good. Thank you.
So it only remains for me to say thanks for listening. We look forward to you joining us for the next episode of the podcast. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust.
If you'd like to find out more about what we do at TPT,
check out our website.
Go to www.pocklington-trust.org.uk.
And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode.
Thank you for listening.